Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Biblical benefits of singlehood. When God made man in his image, God knows that as human beings, we will have many relationships. And these relationships will cause us to have concerns, cares. And so when the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 32a, "But I would have you without carefulness," it is impossible for us to live on this earth without an iota of carefulness. The word carefulness, or rather the phrase "without carefulness," is one word. Literally, it means free from all care or concern. That is impossible. The only time when a person is free from every care and concern is when he lies in the coffin. The moment we begin to exist, we are free from care, obviously, as babies. We are not able to understand the environment and the people around us. And as we grow up, as we become more aware of the difference between the right hand and the left hand, that's how the Bible describes young children, then the cares of the world will begin to enter into our heart and into our minds. You may call it by another word. They have arrived at the age of accountability, whereby they can now begin to know the difference between right and wrong. So that when you tell them to study hard, you have just placed a care onto the shoulder of that young child. You are now responsible to work hard and to study hard. And as they grow older, the cares and concerns of the world increases. Every extra subject is an extra care added onto the shoulder of that little child. And it doesn't stop. It gets heavier because the shoulders become stronger. And so when they entered into the working world, they now are responsible to the point where they can go to prison if they commit a crime. They are now entrusted with projects that may cost or worth millions of dollars. And they will be entrusted with the lives of others as well, especially they are now employers, with the lives of the employees in their care. And these are heavy responsibilities. And so when the Apostle Paul says, "I would have you without carefulness," he's not saying that I'm going to take away every care from your life. Impossible. The context here, of course, is that particular carefulness that he wants to take away from people who are single. That he wants to teach them and help them understand the biblical concept of singlehood. And that means the care and concern that comes with married life. This aspect of cares and concern of a human being, married life, the Apostle Paul says, "I would have you without this concern." What exactly are the concerns of married life? We know that to be married, there are both happy times and there are many, many wonderful, wonderful blessings and rewards. But they also come with a lot of cares and concerns, tears, heartaches, many, many challenges to say the least. The blessings and the happy times are very real. To see a little baby, a little infant grow up in your hands, literally in your hands, to be privileged, given by God this honor to shape and to mold this young life, to spend time to stay home and see this child take his first step, to pray with the child, holding them in your arms, and then to sing songs about Christ into their young hearts, that they might hide God's word in their heart, if possible. To pray with them, And then to allow them to sit on you, on your stomach as you lie on the couch. And then you take out a Bible story, and with the little baby with the tiny little fingers holding on to the edge of the little book. And then you read Bible stories to the little ones, hoping that by your grace and mercy, this little one that God has placed in your wonderful care may one day come to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And when they are sick, mom and dad are prepared to give up their sleep to make sure that if they have fever, you will be there to sponge them to make sure that the fever will go away. Because even if you want to sleep, no matter how tired you are, you can never fall asleep because the concern is so real. That how could I sleep if my baby is still having a fever? So fearful that the fever may go up and the baby might suffer some brain damage. And so you're prepared to give up sleep, and then at the next morning, first thing, you still have to go to work. But it's worth it. It's God's gift. It's my flesh and blood. You are prepared to work hard to make sure that this baby will have enough food, enough clothing to wear, and if possible, a little extra for their toys, for their games. Not necessary, but you want to, if you could afford it. And so you work very hard. The reward and the blessing, and to see them grow up, to be able to teach them and hear them speak the first word when they first call you Mama, Papa. The joy of family life is very real. And then to see them grow up through Sunday school, and then later on to serve God in YF, and see how they grow, and to be there to read their testimony of their own salvation, and to bring them before God and God's people to be baptized, and to see them struggle and grow up through the challenges of life, the aches and pains. And sometimes you wish you could remove all the aches and pains from them, but you know you can't. And you know you will not be good for them. They learn little by little to stand on their own two feet. So much so that when they become adults, they should have the Word of God in them, for Christ is already in them through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And then now you begin to see that all these past 20 over years of staying home and molding and shaping them is worth it all. To see one child, the second child, the third child, all these are blessings from God. And to see them shaped and mold, and to thank God every night that God has given you the honor and privilege to participate in the shaping and molding of all these wonderful God's gifts to us. That they can now be faithful servants of God. They can now become blessings to others. And God has given you the privilege and the honor. And then when you look back on your life at the age of 50, 60, the best years of your life, your youthful zeal and energy poured down into shaping and molding, it's worth it all when you look at them as servants, children of the Most High God. Now that's family life. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to be free from this kind of care. Because in spite and on top of all these blessings and experiences and reward, whereby it will also shape and mold you as you look after them, whereby you learn patience and long-suffering and care and concern, it will turn your life literally upside down to become a better Christian because of the challenges that come with bringing up children, family life. Because the other side of the cares and concern is this. You are afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid that you may love your wife, you may love your children more than Christ. Because that challenge is very real. And that is the care and concern that the Apostle Paul says. I want you to be without it. I'd like to read to you a testimony. By the end of this month, God willing, there'll be a little booklet to commemorate the 16th century Reformation. The theme for this year is martyrs. Not those more famous ones that we are familiar with, like William Tyndale and John Huss, but those that are unfamiliar to us. John Hooper, first believer to be burnt in England, when Bloody Mary, the Queen, passed a new law that any heretic would be burned, and he was the first one to be burned in 9th February 1555. Polycarp, George Wishart, John Fox, Joyce Lewis, Wang Zeming, John Rogers, and of course there is one that may be more familiar, is Wang Mingdao. These are compiled by some of our young people, and it will be printed and it will be distributed free of charge for your reading and blessing. But what does a family, what will it do to a believer? I'd like to share with you a little bit about this man, Wang Zeming. He lived during the Chinese Revolution, when Mao Zedong came into power, when communism now took over to become the new face of the great land of China. And so every believer will come under severe persecution and attack. And this man, Wang Zeming, was one of them. And so he was arrested and false charges were leveled against him. And for the next 4 years, he was shut up in a tiny prison cell. Everything that belonged to him were confiscated. But his persecutors could not rob him of his faith. In the midst of his suffering, his heart was with the souls whom God had committed into his charge. And he continually bowed his knees in prayer for them while in prison. Now this is fine. You're talking about spiritual children. Meanwhile, and this gets a little personal, Wang's family was not spared from persecution. Now that's where your heart will be challenged. Do I love my family more, or do I love Christ more? A person who is not married will be free from this concern. He doesn't have the family love, the love for his own children, to take into consideration when he is now threatened by persecutors. But not Wang Zeming. Time and again, they were taunted by revolutionary soldiers and villagers. Your old man was a bad guy. He believed in God. Why don't you draw a clear line with him? Separate yourself from your father. God is not the savior. Chairman Mao and the Communist Party are the saviors of the people. Do you believe in God or in Chairman Mao and the Communist Party? In spite of this mocking, God kept the faith of the family. In Wang's absence, his son, Wang Zisheng, took on his pastoral duties and continue to care for the flock, encouraging them in the word. And then rumors of Wang's impending execution spread around for some time. But it was only the day before the execution that Wang's family were informed by it, by the authorities. And so on December 28, 1973, his son, Wang Zisheng, led about a dozen of their family members to the detention center. On reaching, they once again received the ridicule of the guards and were reminded to support the revolution and not to follow in the footsteps of Wang. The sight of their beloved father, and then some of the son's children, the grandchildren, they saw the grandfather, whose tortured and skeletal body had become almost unrecognizable, immediately made them weep, only to be fiercely commanded, "No crying allowed." In order for the guard to understand their conversation, in order for the guard not to understand their conversation and to prevent any counter-revolutionary talk. In order for the guard to understand their conversation, they were ordered to speak in Mandarin. Rudely, the guard told them to hurry and speak. Time was limited. Wang's wife nodded and said, "You speak first. You have always spoken first in the past. We will listen to you." With a knowing smile, Wang replied, "I haven't been able to reform my thinking and I am to blame for what I am going through now. So all of you, don't follow me. Listen to the arrangement of the above." The above means the government in secular terms. But his Christian family understood he referred to God, so they have to speak to one another in coded form. Wang was encouraging them to obey the will of God. He continued, "You must labor zealously, that you may have food to eat and clothes to wear. You must take note of hygiene in all things and keep your bodies healthy so that you will not fall sick." Once again, these words were riddled with meaning, and his family no doubt understood. These were the words that Wang, his father, and the foreign missionaries of old have often repeated. He was exhorting them not only to take care of themselves physically, but also to encourage them to stand strong and healthy spiritually in the midst of their manifold testings. In tears, Wang Zhisheng, the son, replied, "Dad, we will listen to what the above tells us, but we have many babes at home who need you. If you can't be reformed and come back home, what will the babes do?" What he meant, of course, was that the church wanted and needed their beloved pastor. Wang was silenced. Unable to cry aloud, the family huddled together with muffled sobs, tears rolling down their cheeks uncontrollably. With trembling hands, Wang's wife brought out 6 eggs she had prepared for Wang as his final meal and presented them to him. Lovingly, Wang gazed at his wife of 40 years. What comfort could he give at such a time? Silently, Wang reached out his bleeding hands, touched his wife on her head, her chest, and her shoulders, and then he separated the eggs, keeping 3 and giving back 3 to her. This was a symbolism of the Trinity, a final reminder and encouragement of the God they serve and suffered for. Then the family was separated from Wang. It was then announced that Wang would be executed the next day, and his body would be dealt with by the government. His dismayed family pleaded with the officials to know why they could not claim his body. The answer they received greatly horrified them. By popular demand of the revolutionary masses, the government had decided that Wang's body would be completely blown up with explosives, and family members would not be permitted to enter the execution grounds. The family pleaded and cried to no avail. When they begged and promised never to erect a tombstone or any visible marks on Wang's grave, the guards curtly replied, "You Miao people have long been a superstitious lot. If you were granted his body and a few days later claimed that he had resurrected like Jesus, that would be unthinkable." The weeping family were finally booted out of the detention center, left with no choice. They went home and prayed. What would you do if you were Wang? What would your family do when they looked at you? The Apostle Paul says, if you are single, I would have you without such a care. To bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ means you become an open target to Satan. And Satan will do whatever it takes to cause you to stumble and lose your holy witness for Christ. And you and I know as parents that of all the relationships that we have on this earth for a Christian, relationship that we have on this earth, mind you, will be our family. They are dearest to us. They are closest to our hearts. We are prepared to do whatever it takes to take care of them, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful. And therefore, when we are forced to choose between Jesus Christ and our family, in times such as this, we will be literally torn apart in our heart, in our soul. All he needed to do would be to recant and bow down to Chairman Mao and the Communist Party, and he would be a free man. He could return to the whole family. And this would be true of all of them. Of course, they will not be under communist rule in these instances, the names that I read to you earlier. They will be under the Roman Catholic rule, the Pope. Instead of Chairman Mao, you'll be the Pope. You bow down and you recant Christ and bow down to the Pope and accept Roman Catholicism. You will also be a free man. You can go back home to your family. Whether it's in China or England or anywhere else in the world, it will be the same. And that's what to have a family entails. Or some of you may think, no, that's a very extreme situation. Jesus says, and Jesus is never wrong, if a believer is faithful in the least, he will be faithful in much. Men like Wang Zheming and others, they were faithful in the little things to God, but they will put Christ first in the bringing up of their family and their children. But Christ was first in everything they did, so that when it was time for them to face such a terrible, terrible choice, to be burned at the stake, to have you shot, and to have your body exploded. Of course, that did not happen. I did not finish the whole story. You can read it for yourself. You will make the right choice when the time comes. But you have to begin by making the right choices on a day-to-day basis. And that's why the Apostle Paul reminded those who are married, live as though the time is short. Live as if you are not married. That's why he says, when you weep, behave as if you are not weeping. When you rejoice, behave as if you are not rejoicing. When you buy things, live as if you possess, you own nothing. Because when the time comes, if you cannot separate and make sure that yes, your life in Christ Jesus is not first and last, and you allow your family responsibilities, your children to come into your life and to creep into your heart that was once devoted only to Christ, but now your devotion to Christ begins to diminish, and you allow your family responsibilities to cause you to disobey the Word of God. Because now you want to give them a better home. You want them to have better food, better garments. Not that they don't have, they have. But you want better. That means more time in the world. More time working harder in the world. And this is what family will do. This is what children will do to parents. If they do not follow the scriptures and allow the Word of God to be their only mainstay and guide in life, it's so easy to cross the line. And when they grow up, you want to give them the best education. And if they do not study hard, they may not find a university here. And so you have to work extra hard in order to have that big amount of money to send them overseas. By hook or by crook, they must have a university education, because you have been brainwashed into thinking that anyone without a university education will have a very poor future. Where does the Bible say so? No, the Bible didn't say so. But this is what the world says, and you have allowed the world to creep into your thinking. And that, the Apostle Paul says, as a single person, I want you to be without this kind of care. You don't have to worry about this because you don't have a family, you do not have children, to cause you to have all these challenges and struggles. Because when you look around you, many of our young couple, many of our older couple, many of those who have grown up children, you look around you, single people, open your eyes. Many of them have paid the ultimate price. Many of them are failing. Many of them are allowing their married life to ruin their devotion and their witness for Christ. Paul says, I want to free you from all these. That's the biblical benefits of singlehood. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord. So that your single-minded devotion would only be to the things of the Lord. To serve the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, your only concern is the Lord Himself, because it is so much easier to love the Lord more than my job. It's so easy to love the Lord more than my tiny little apartment which is only for myself to live in. I don't need to have a big house if I'm single. All you need is just a little one-room, two-room, tiny little flat, and that's all you need. And so you can spend all your heart and soul and all your resources and all your time and energy serving the Lord. What a freedom! Because you keep caring only for one person in your life. How you may please the Lord. That's it. How the Lord Jesus Christ will be the only one that I want to please, free from all these. Remember, God made us in such a way that we value relationships. And so this family relationship, for the single person, Paul says, I want you to be free from it, so that your devotion, the one and only person that you want to please as you serve me on this earth, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not encumbered by your wife, by your children, by all these family responsibilities. Because if you are married, verse 33, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, and how he may please his wife. Which is very true. Very true indeed. You can't just simply pack your bag and go somewhere once you are married. When you are a free, single person, the friend calls you up, would you consider coming on this mission trip? The only concern is, maybe I cannot get my leave. And once you apply and you can get the leave, you can go. That's it. You pack a tiny little bag, a small little backpack, put on your shoulder, and you go. That's it. But once you're married, it's a totally different story. You could ask your wife. You could think about her. Whether it is acceptable, whether it is okay. What about her plans? What about your plans with her? All these things will have to be taken into consideration before you can decide. Not that you can't, but there will be this extra person in your life that you must ask. Not that you don't ask, you have to ask. Because now both of you are married and both of you are now one. You have to ask and find out. Because the wife can destroy your ministry and your life just as you could destroy hers. That's what married life is. That's why you marry the wrong person. That person that you marry can destroy your life. No one is exempted, those who are married. You know that. If my wife doesn't support me, I can't do 90% of what I do. If I come home after every night of Bible study, and then she complains and complains, and she murmurs and murmurs, you think I feel like going out of the house to come home for another battle, murmur and complain, murmur and complain? But to know that my wife supports me 110%, that she will take care of the children in my absence, do her best, and to function in two roles, father and mother. That gives me the peace of mind to concentrate and to teach and to come back home, knowing that the house will still be orderly and spiritually sound and good. You cannot simply pack a bag and go. There is a family responsibility as a father, as a husband, that the Bible uses to evaluate as one of the important criteria of a godly elder. Watch how he looks after his children. Watch how he runs his household. Because the church is like a family. If he can't look after his tiny little family, he cannot look after God's bigger family. And so this concern is real. And so to those who are single, if you are called to be single, you are free from this. Because as the man, you are the head of the home. Not only are you responsible to take care of your own spiritual well-being, but the spiritual well-being of your wife as well. You've got to help her to become more and more spiritual. Once she married you, she has been handed over, given over to you by her father. Where now you are to look after her spiritual well-being, to help her to become more and more like Christ with every passing day, which was what her father used to do. But now because of marriage, she's married to you and he had given her over to you. Now her spiritual well-being is in your hands now. And as a father, having handed over her to you, and to see her spiritual life going downward, it will break his heart. And there's absolutely nothing he could do other than pray. Because he has given her over to you, and now you will take care of her daughter. She is now your responsibility. So not only do you have to take care of your own spiritual life, but you have to take care of the spiritual life of your wife. Verse 32 and 33 is about a contrast between a single man and a married man. Verse 34 is a contrast between a single woman and a married woman. And the words given by the Apostle Paul, the benefits are the same. In terms of carefulness, in terms of your wholehearted devotion. And so for the Christian husband, If God blesses you with children, now on top of your own spiritual well-being and your wife's spiritual well-being, now you have the children's spiritual well-being to take into consideration. How are you going to serve like a single person? You just simply could not. The family responsibility will weigh you down. And to be a bad father, to be a bad husband, would also at the same time disqualify you from serving in any capacity. You know that. You don't want the greatest preacher and pastor in the whole world to be your pastor if he is not able to remain married to his wife, if he divorces his wife. If he is a terrible, terrible father and his children are all derelict, they're all worldly and carnal. You want that kind of pastor who is the best preacher? What for? No area of your life must fail to bring glory to God. That's the standard. And so when you have family responsibilities, those responsibilities are lifelong. And they will be the heaviest compared to all other responsibilities that you have. And Paul says to the single people, I want you to be without this kind of care. And so if you are a single and you are a Christian, don't murmur, don't complain. Thank God for the time when you are still single. Because we all came into this world as single people. If you say and feel that God has called you to be married, verse 35 to verse 40 will be our conclusion, God willing, next Lord's Day. God will send someone into your life to be married. But while you wait in this period of temporal singlehood, right, there are some who are single for life, like the Apostle Paul, for the rest of his life. He knows. But we all come into this world as single people. When you're going to get married, you wait and be still and trust in the Lord. But in the meantime, while you are single, you count your blessing as a single people, whereby you can now focus your entire attention and your heart and your soul and your energy only in the Lord. And don't allow any voices from the world to confuse you. You listen to the voice of God. And the biblical benefits of singlehood will make you a tremendous servant of God. But you can do so much for the Lord because you are not encumbered by family responsibilities. Because verse 33 says, for he that is married careth for the things that are of the world and how he may please his wife, which is correct. He cannot neglect his family. He has to take them into consideration. And they are to be well looked after, spiritually cared for. And same for the single wife, single lady, and the married wife. There is the difference also between a wife and a virgin. Verse 34. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy body in both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. It's the same. In the case of the wife, her duty and responsibility is to submit to her own husband as unto the Lord. And together as husband and wife, Christian husbands and wife, they are to bring the family up, the children up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. One of you to stay home, to see your children grow up, to be with them all the days of your life. The biblical benefits of singlehood is only beneficial if you use them for the Lord. If you think that being single means I'm free and footloose and carefree, I can do whatever I want, then that singlehood by the professing believer is a waste of his life and his time. Because if you're truly born again in Christ, you will use your singlehood, your freedom that you now have given to you by your Lord to serve him, to praise him, to do so much more than a person who is married. You can go on mission trips. You can stay in some parts much longer than a person who is married. He cannot stay far away and neglect his wife, because he may fall into temptation. She may fall into temptation. And before you know it, if his marriage life is in the rocks and it's gone, his whole ministry will collapse. And therefore, he cannot neglect the family. But a person who is single, you can stay overseas in a particular country for 1 year, 2 years, totally focused and devoted to serving the Lord without any family responsibilities to bring you back home. And you can focus, you can concentrate without any distraction, because you don't have a family to draw your heartstring away, to think of them. That's what the biblical benefit of singlehood is. And so if you are single, you thank God for this period of singlehood. And if God has called you to be single for life, the Apostle Paul says, it is better. This is the reason. You can put your heart and your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and to give Him your all and your very best. But if you know and feel that you are truly called to be married, but you are still single at this time, you thank God for this temporal period of singlehood. And don't murmur and complain and indulge in self-pity. And don't look around you and say that your contemporaries are all getting married, and you get upset and people say this to you and say that to you and ask you, when is your turn, when is your turn? And you get upset. And don't get upset and angry. Don't have to. As far as God is concerned, remember, you are in a better position. You can remember the biblical benefits of singlehood than the person who is married. Because now you can devote your entire heart and your energy and your soul to serve the Lord. Whereas your contemporary, now they couldn't, because they are now married and they are tied down with family responsibilities. So you must know how to answer them and reply them. God's will be done. Now as a single person, I can now do much, much more for the Lord. Tell them that. And if they are unbelievers, use that as a springboard to share Christ with them. Don't avoid them and don't get upset and don't be discouraged by the voices of the world. Let the voice of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and your Heavenly Father be the loudest voice in your heart and in your head to drown out whatever whisper that the Lord may throw at, the evil one may throw at you, to make you doubt and confuse, whereby you despise your singlehood. Don't. As a child of God, your Heavenly Father makes no mistakes. As a child of God, your Heavenly Father will always give to His children the very best. You trust in His sovereignty and you obey His holy will for your life. Because both lives will have challenges and blessings. But as far as the practical, time-wise concern, it is better to be single than to be married. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thou art a good God, a wonderful God to all of us. For You have saved us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. For You have delivered us from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. And we thank Thee, Lord, that we have a wonderful Heavenly Father who will always give to His children the very best. And to some, You have called us to remain single. And to others, You have called us to be married. In whichever state or condition that we are in, help us to live a life that is according to Holy Scriptures. To all those who are married, may we know that the time is short. May we never put our families above the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may be able to bring them up in the fear and admonition and nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of them becoming our idols, turning a blessing into a curse. Help us to also know that as we are in this world, may we not become like the world, to use the things of the world to become better believers and not allow the world to use us to enslave us. We pray, O Lord, for those who are single at this juncture of their lives. Help them to rejoice. Help them to trust in the Lord. Help them to be still and to know that Thou art God in their lives and that can use their strength and might, their energy as single people. Christians whose desire is to only please the Lord Jesus Christ and not be distracted. For they do not need to please their husband or their wives. We pray, O Lord, that you will be gracious and merciful to comfort them, encourage them, and not allow the voices of the world to distract them and to cause them to lose sight of the biblical benefits of singlehood that you have given to your children. Bless all of us, whether single or married. May we live this life bringing glory to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that we do and in all that we say. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.